Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, the Bible calls us who are saved to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's find out what that means. Last Sunday, I had a sermon all prepared on what it means to be a steward in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, but my post-COVID cough rendered preaching a Sunday service all but impossible. So on tonight's King James Bible study, I think it would be a great idea to take that sermon and make a Bible study out of it. It is a much-needed and edifying subject. Our text tonight comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, your King James Bible has a lot to say about how we as stewards of the ministry the Lord has given us, and if you're saved, you are absolutely in the ministry on some level. It's not really optional. But in the process of uncovering what the scripture says about stewardship, and we will look at it as it relates to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, we find some strange and fascinating things along the way. Not the least of which is discovering that if we are willing to serve the Lord Jesus here and now, that he will serve us in the age to come, as we shall see in multiple examples. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't think anything will. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, join us to see what it means to truly be a good steward of what the Lord has given us and called us to do with it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. God, I thank you tonight for Manuka honey. That's your product, God. The Manuka flower is your flower. Those bees are your bees. And I thank you, God, for your bees and for your honey tonight. And Lord, we come before you, and we're just so glad to be saved. We're grateful to be serving. And we're so glad to all be united together again after a short interlude. And Lord, just meet with us here tonight and bless this service and the preaching and teaching of your word. And if there be one listening tonight, Lord, who's lost, we pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And for any saved people who are listening who need to get back on fire for you, we pray something would be said and done to get a lukewarm soul fervently hot once again. And Lord, we'll just give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. So glad to see you all here tonight. I published that article this morning on Manuka honey, and that got a surprisingly good response. And a lot of people know about the power of honey. I am not against all pharmaceutical intervention. At the worst of my battle with COVID, I took Advil. I took aspirin. I have no problem. I'll take an antibiotic if I have to. I'm not 100% against pharmaceutical intervention, but my first choice is always to see if I can go to God's medicine chest, like Ceylon cinnamon and garlic and cayenne pepper and ginger and Manuka honey. And I tell you, and We're not selling honey at the bookstore. I have no financial dealings with the people who manufacture Manuka honey. But I am telling you that the difference that that made in my cough, and it was almost immediate, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you get yourself a jar of Manuka honey and put it into your cabinet next to the cinnamon and the garlic and the ginger and the cayenne pepper, because that stuff works. Blaine just says garlic is very, very powerful. I take 1,000 milligrams of garlic every single day, and I totally agree. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be back behind the microphone, and I am so glad, that I am not coughing. I still cough a little bit, and you'll hear me cough maybe a dozen times tonight, but on Sunday, I was coughing a dozen times per minute, and it lasted for hours and hours and hours and hours. So I am grateful to be back behind the microphone. I'm still not 100%, but I'm getting there, and I appreciate all of your prayers very, very much. The second interesting thing that happened today that I want to tell you guys about, we have officially published our 10,000th article. Can you believe 10,000 real deal end times articles over the past 12 years? The first 2 years of Now the End Begins, we were just a tiny little blog. And I didn't really have articles. I really just had thoughts, like a blog, you know. But in 2011, we changed the website to away from a blog and to an actual website. And since that time, 2011, we have officially published 10,000 articles. And the article tonight about this Bible study was the 10,001, or is it 10,001st? I'm so bad with numbers. But the article that we published letting you know about this program tonight was 10,001. So we praise the Lord for his faithfulness. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the stewardship of Now the End Begins. Because God made me a steward of this ministry 14 years ago. And I'm really excited for tonight's topic. I had this all planned as a sermon for last Sunday. Didn't get to do it. So tonight we're going to do it as a sermon / Bible study. And I'm really, really excited about that. So to celebrate the fact that we have 10,000 articles, that is no small feat, and I'm very glad and I'm very grateful for that. This weekend, starting at Friday, midnight, Friday to midnight Sunday, we are going to have a very special sale at the bookstore, and I can't think of any better way to celebrate having 10,000 articles published than by having a really good sale on books and commentaries and Bibles. So mark your calendars this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are going to have a bookstore super sale to celebrate 10,000 articles. And that is just such a blessing that God would give us that much to do and to be so faithful all of these years. And we are in year number 14 of our ministry. And God has expanded this. I was talking with a friend earlier and telling them how this ministry has gone so much farther past anything that I thought that it would ever be. And God has greatly expanded us and increased us and constantly giving us new things to do. So mark your calendars this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a 72-hour bookstore super sale. And I'm going to put all of our most popular and most requested items on sale, because I really want you guys to get a hold of these books that have made such an impact in my life. If you're just tuning in, tonight's topic is on being a good steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the bottom of the hour, we are going to have prayer and praise. So if you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post it in the chat room. So glad that you're here tonight.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy!" The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, "Holy, and as I enter the gates of that city, my loved ones, they knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
amen. Amen. I love teaching the Bible and I love preaching the word, but man, oh man, I could just sit and listen to music like that all night long. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, this is the last message by the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ on earth. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever heard a message preached about that exact topic? Revelation chapter 3 is the last message to the body of Christ on this earth before the rapture. And you know what Jesus says to the lukewarm Laodicean church? He says, I'm outside the door. I'm knocking on that door. If any of you care to open up that door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. And in the context, Jesus is telling us to overcome the spirit of the lukewarm Laodicean church. And we're going to talk about that tonight, too. That's a topic that I am fervently passionate about. And I get very excited. You know, in some respects, I've been saved in March 14th. I will have been saved for 32 years. And would you believe that after all that time and ups and downs and backsliding and valley experiences and mountaintop experiences and everything in between that you could possibly have, 32 years later, and I am still wonderfully and gloriously excited about and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. 32 years later. And what's the reason for that? Well, the reason for that is he is faithful. Not me. I'm not faithful. Man, sometimes I come and go like the wind. But he is faithful. That's the exciting part. He is faithful. And 32 years later, and I'm still saved, and I'm still serving, and I'm still glad to be here. And it's just, to me, the Bible is still the most exciting book ever written. Jesus Christ is still the most amazing person in history, of any kind of history. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve him and to worship him and to be good stewards of the gifts that he has given us. So if you're just tuning in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get started. Being a good steward, I'm not preaching about giving tonight. That's not really what it means to be a good steward. Now, giving is absolutely part of stewardship. There's no question about that. But my message tonight is not on giving. My message tonight is about what are you doing with what God has given you? Not what are you giving to God. What are you doing with what God has given to you? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And that is the true essence of stewardship. And we're going to look at, you know, at stewardship in a couple of different dispensations. And we're going to see what it means to be a steward in the kingdom of heaven. That's one dispensation. We're going to look at what it means to be a steward in the kingdom of God. That's the dispensation that we're in right now. And we're going to look at what it means to be a steward in the time of Jacob's trouble. And I trust that this will be an edifying and inspiring Bible study slash sermon, because that's exactly what it's going to be. And in just about 2 minutes, we're going to get started.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen, Lord. Stir us up.
Glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Revelation 19:1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Man, that's good stuff. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that lives in the future, lives in the past, and lives in the present? Aren't you glad that you serve a God that spoke everything into existence? Aren't you glad that you serve a God that is true and righteous and holy and just? The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You can trust him, you can trust him, you can trust him, you can trust him. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father God, we come before you. God, I'm all fired up, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your word, for your Son, for your Spirit. I thank you for you, God. And tonight, Lord, we pray for after a stroke. We pray for Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease and needs prayer. We're praying for Stacy Bunton, recovering from a recent surgery. We have lots of pregnant women, Elena Blackburn, Reagan Gorzel, Kelsey Emerson. And I know there's somebody else, but I don't see it on the list. But we pray for all of the ladies who are expecting babies, that God would just keep his hand on the mother, the father, and the child. And amen. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke and needs prayer. We're praying for Rob Beattie. He's battling colon cancer again, but he is upbeat, he is optimistic, and he is trusting the Lord. Kate needs prayer concerning her housing situation, and an unspoken as well. Mark Saxa praying for his son Joseph that he would return to the Lord. Charlie Kammerman needs prayer for recovery after having hip surgery. Laura Campoy still recovering after a motor scooter accident. I think we need an update on grandbaby Addie with RSV in the hospital. That's been about a week now. But please keep Madison's grandbaby Addie in your prayers. We're praying for Clayton Perry for side effects of chemotherapy. We're praying for Marcy Long, who is waiting for a report after chemotherapy. And we pray that she'll get a good report. Sarah and her husband battling COVID. And we're praying that God give them the victory. The LaPiana family has an unspoken prayer request. Craig Alford needs prayer for pancreatic cancer. Barbara Gordon, well, she just got out of the hospital and she went to the bookstore on Saturday. I wish I would have been there. She would like prayer for continued improvement of her health and a closer walk with God. Amen. Also prayers for her kids, grandkids, and great-grandchildren, of which there are 35. Wow. Chris Hart, he has a time-sensitive, unspoken prayer. Keep Chris Hart in your prayers. And he was supposed to come here next week, and we were going to go preaching at the jails. And we had to postpone it because I had to go ahead and get COVID. But keep that in your prayers as well, because I'm looking to reschedule that as soon as possible. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for her Navy son, Danny. He has COVID and dizzy spells and coughing with multiple jabs. So please keep Danny Kelly in your prayers. Rapture 57 has a bad case of COVID, needs our prayer. Marie Shiroki, well, she's just a little bit worn out. She's tired and cold after work. Didn't have the energy to go street preaching tonight. So please keep Street Preacher Marie in your prayers. Stephen Wilder would like prayers for his son and his son's wife. Her water just broke, but she's not due for a couple of months. Stephen says that his name is Daniel and his wife's name is Lizette. So please keep Lizette in your prayers. It looks like the baby's coming a little bit early. And we're just going to pray that the Lord gets his hand all over that. Catherine B., she sent me a nice letter today. And I don't want to read the whole thing, but she says, there's a portion of my heart that's not getting enough blood. Tomorrow I'll see a vascular surgeon and do what he advises. I still pray for a miracle to get off of dialysis. And Catherine B. says that she listens to these programs while she's having dialysis. Please keep Catherine in your prayers that the Lord would just give her a healing touch. Linda LaPiana's sister Mary Ann had COVID, is now home from the hospital, and she is doing better. And we praise the Lord for that. Marie Comfort, Rapture Ready in the chat room, praise report, she is off the blood pressure medication. She says, I'm 85, and I just have eye drops. And that's a great praise report. Amen, sis. Amen. Karen says, praise report, thank you for all your prayers. My brother-in-law, Doug, who had two strokes, is doing much, much, much better. Thank you, God. Amen. Rob says, having lots of anxiety and some health issues due to age. And we're going to pray for Rob tonight. AJ, Can't stay for the podcast, but I just made a tough decision between two job openings, and I hope I made the right choice. Please pray for me. You made the right choice if you put it in the Lord's hands. That's the right choice, and we will definitely pray for you. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that you have made this ministry a praying ministry with people who care for each other and people who lift each other up. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another." And Lord, we lift up all these prayers and praises, and we ask you, Lord, to do something with them. Lord, the longer I'm saved, God, the more I'm just willing to say, Lord, you take it, you fix it, you do it. Because your ways are always the best, they're always right. And Lord, I don't need to figure stuff out. I just need to trust you with it. So for everybody who needs a healing, we pray, God, that you would touch them. Everybody who needs restoration in relationships and finances, whatever the case may be, people need jobs, people suffering from long COVID, people suffering from cancer and just whatever, strokes and heart attacks. Father God, we ask you to move and work and touch. Update on baby Addie. Addie is having a good day, and we have optimism for tomorrow. That reminds me, Reagan Gorzel's blood pressure had been spiking a little bit. Please keep Reagan Gorzel in your prayers. But baby Addie is doing much, much better. So Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we commit this to you. We ask you to work and move as only you can. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here tonight. Welcome to the Bible study. And it's going to be a little bit of preaching, going to be a little bit of teaching. And I'm excited. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be serving. And I'm so in awe of what the Lord does. And I'm so in awe of how he does it. And I've been watching the Lord work in the lives of so many people that I know, so many friends of mine, so many people connected to this ministry. And it is just fascinating to me to see how events change and rearrange when you commit them to the Lord. It is just unbelievable what happens when you commit your way to the Lord. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3? And this was the favorite verse of D.L. Moody. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You want good advice? That's great advice. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try to figure it out. God already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what's going to take place. In everything you do and say and think, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You remember what the thief on the cross said when he was crucified and dying next to Jesus Christ? You remember what he said? He said, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." What was he doing? He was acknowledging Jesus Christ. He was trusting in Jesus Christ. And he was not looking at his situation. He wasn't looking at his circumstances. He wasn't looking at the fact that he was attached to this wooden cross and he was never going to get off that cross until he died. What did that thief on the cross do? He trusted in the Lord with all his heart. He didn't trust his own feelings and emotions and understanding. He acknowledged Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know what Jesus said? I promise you. Now that's pretty good. Jesus said, I promise you that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the thief on the cross is, and I'll get to the Bible study in just a second, but I really think that there's somebody who needs to hear this. That thief on the cross lived out in his final moments. He lived out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And because he did those things, now, his buddy on the other side, he didn't trust in the Lord. He leaned onto his understanding. And what happened to that other guy? Well, he died on that cross and he opened his eyes in hell. He was with the rich man from Luke chapter 16. But what happened to the thief that acknowledged the Lord, that trusted in him with all his heart, and asked Jesus to direct his paths? He wound up in paradise. He's been in heaven for 2,000 years. So, when we do that, and this ties into the Bible study tonight, when we do that, that is our best chance for success. To trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and then watch as he directs our path. With that, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and let's get into our text for tonight. If you're just tuning in, tonight's message / sermon is on stewardship, and we're going to look at it in a couple of dispensations, but you know what you're going to see? Plus or minus 10%, it really doesn't change very much. Stewardship is really the essence of stewardship is the same in the kingdom dispensation, the kingdom of heaven. It's the same in the kingdom of God, and the fundamental principles of stewardship are the same in the time of Jacob's trouble. Some of the other things will vary, but the essence of it does not change. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, let's look at, let's read verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift." You might want to underline that. "Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, our text for tonight is verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift." What gift? What is that gift? "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the grace of God. Now, the first thing that I want to show you, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you one of the main gifts that has been given to every single born-again man, woman, and child in the church age. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at verses 17 through 19. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I got saved almost 32 years ago. I became a new creature. I became born again in my spirit. I had the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me. I had my sins paid for, my transgressions blotted out. I became a new creature in Jesus Christ, and Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 4 say that I have been sealed unto the day of redemption. That is an unbreakable seal. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." That's what happens when you got saved. You were reconciled back to God. You were the enemy of God. You were in the image of Adam. But when you got saved, you got reconciled back to God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But the verse doesn't end there. The rest of the verse says, "And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 talks about the gift. If you're saved today, here is the first gift that God has given you that you are expected to be a good steward of. Now, think of it like I gave you a houseplant, and I give you this beautiful green succulent, or I give you this beautiful purple orchid, and I give you this beautiful houseplant, and I say, "Here, this is from me to you. Take care of this plant. This is my gift to you." Well, if you were a good steward, you would water that plant. You would give that plant sunshine. You would take care of that plant. You would prune it when it needed to be pruned. You would fertilize it when it needed to be fertilized. That's what it means to be a good steward. So, the first thing that you have to understand, if you're saved, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that he hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And how does that play out? Well, we give out Bibles to people. We give out the Word of God to people. We go on the street corners like Kentucky Jeffrey and Kyle Gorzel and all the people on our prayer list and Street Preacher Marie. And they go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. That we hand out gospel tracts to people at the supermarket and at the gas station. We witness the Lord Jesus Christ. When Rita from Colorado went to spend those months with her sister in Minnesota, What did she do? Rita was a witness for Jesus Christ, and what happened? Her sister Ginny Glover got saved. So, the very first gift, the very first gift that God gave you when you got saved, and I want you to pay attention to this now, the very first gift that God gave you when you got saved is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So, everybody, if you're saved, you have this gift. This is not something special. This is not something that is only given to pastors or Bible teachers or Sunday school teachers or street preachers or evangelists. The ministry of reconciliation is a gift that God gave you when you got saved to go out and work to get other people saved. Does that make sense? Let me see in the chat room if you guys understand what I'm saying. And I'm sure that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure that you do. But I want you to understand that when you're talking about the gifts from God, the ministry of reconciliation has been given to every single one of us. It's been given to April and Berta and Mike and Trisha and Jericho and Anthony and Kimmy and Ron and Annabelle and Gary and Water Dog and Marie and to myself and to Jeanette and to Lori. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Don't waste 5 seconds on trying to figure out what your gift is. Paul is very clear and very plain. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." That's Ephesians chapter 1, 12 through 14. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So, every single person listening to the sound of my voice that has a testimony of being born again at some point, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And you are called to be a witness on a small scale, a medium scale, a large scale. Remember, Now the End Begins started out as a tiny little blog 14 years ago. It took 3 months for anybody to even comment on anything that we wrote. Now the End Begins started out tiny, 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 tiny. And I made lots of mistakes along the way. People started asking Bible questions 14 years ago, and I realized that I had gotten a little bit lazy with my theology, and I realized I had to go back and step up my game. I had to crack the books again. I had to open up the books again and study again. Believe me, this ministry has built me up in my faith just as much as it has any one of you. Because in the process of doing this ministry, I really had to go back to school. And there were so many things that God had to show me, that God had to teach me, that God had to bring me through. And over the years, He has brought it to where it is right now. We celebrated 10,000 articles today. And we are past 116,000 Bibles since 2011. And God has done tremendous things with this ministry, but we are called to be stewards of what he has given us. And the first point, and we're getting ready to take our first break of the night, but you need to remember and you need to understand that if you're born again, the very first gift that God gave you, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift. I believe that the gift is the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that's not the only gift, but that is the primary gift. Remember, when God gives you a gift, it is for his glory and for your good. It's not for your glory and his good. It's for his glory and for your good. And with that, we got to take our first break of the night, but we'll be right back after this.
Oh, His hands were nailed, scarred. His side was riven. He gave his last blood. He
Amen. And we are back for hour two of our Bible study tonight on being a good steward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's primarily talking to pastors and teachers and preachers of the Word of God. And Paul said that the ministers of Christ, now, to me, that includes street preachers. Ministers of Christ include Sunday school teachers. Ministers of Christ include people who do personal work. At least that's the way I see it. And Paul said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, we sell a book in the bookstore, and this is one of the books that I'll put on sale for this weekend. It's a book by Dr. Ruckman called The Seven Mysteries. And the Apostle Paul, he was given these mysteries, and he revealed them. The seven mysteries that are found in the New Testament. The incarnation of Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The indwelling Christ, Colossians chapter 1, the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, the blindness of Israel in Romans chapter 11, the incarnation of Satan in 2 Thessalonians, the rapture of the church in 1 Corinthians 15, Babylon the Great in Revelation 17. And these are the seven mysteries that the Apostle Paul was given the 3.5 years that he went to Bible school in the desert in Damascus. Can you imagine how different things would be in our world, in America? Can you imagine how much more on fire that Christians would be if those seven mysteries that I just gave you, and that's, you know, Bible doctrine, if those seven mystery Bible doctrines that are obviously not a mystery now because Paul has revealed it, can you imagine, Jericho is asking, can I put them in the chat room? Yeah, in a little bit. That was basically, I was just remembering what they were, but I can find a way to post them for sure. Suffice to say, we would be in a completely different situation if pastors, evangelists, and Bible teachers would be preaching and teaching those mysteries, those seven core Bible doctrines, from the pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 4, Let us so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So, when you got saved, first thing God gave you was the ministry of reconciliation. Second thing God gave you, these seven mysteries, Bible doctrine. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Talking about saved people. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is not addressed to lost people. It's addressed to saved people. Now, are you starting to see that the gifts of God that we are called to be stewards of has nothing to do with how well you can sing, how well you can paint, how well you can do whatever talent it is that God has given you? Those things are all secondary to what we're talking about here. What we've been talking about tonight, the ministry of the reconciliation of the ministry of reconciliation, and to be a good steward of the mysteries of the seven key points of Bible doctrine, these are things that directly lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't lift up you, they lift up Him, which is what they're supposed to do. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Let's look at verse 29. Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, what does that mean? That means that if God has ever called you to do anything, that call remains and you're gonna do it. Because before you got saved, now God's not a Calvinist and I'm certainly not a Calvinist, but before you got saved, you pretty much could do whatever it is that you wanted to do. And if you would have died in that condition, you would have reaped the deadly eternal consequences of living a life without God and just doing whatever it is that you want to do. But when you got saved, the Bible says ye are bought with a price, and now you have become His. You have become His property. So Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God does not take back your calling just because you backslid. I'll say that again. Maybe somebody needs to hear that. God does not take back your calling because you are backslidden. Humble One Forever just said, Jonah learned the hard way. And what did Jonah learn? Jonah learned that even if he was in a backslidden condition, and you really couldn't get much more backslidden than Jonah, and God put him through what he had to put him through, but when Jonah came out the other side, that call was still there. So maybe God called you years ago to be a pastor, preacher, evangelist, Sunday school teacher. Maybe God called you years ago to be a missionary on a foreign field. I hate to break it to you, but you're running away from God and you're backsliding does not change the fact that that call remains. Heath is asking, how do you know what your calling is? Well, I've already told you. If you're saved, you've been given the gift, the ministry of reconciliation. So what I would do, if I didn't know what my call was, I would I would go with what I was absolutely sure that God was calling me to do, and that is what I would start doing. And along the way, CJ just said, God will let you know. Absolutely. You get started, and God will lead you and guide you on your path. So if you're not sure what you're called to do, you can be 100% sure that you have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which is bringing the gospel to lost people. Start doing that, and then God will make it really clear and really plain as you continue to follow him and serve him. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's start reading in verse 3. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right, let's stop right there. Heath is asking, how do you know what your calling is? Well, Paul says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's where you start. You start with the measure of faith that God has given you. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, as one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So here the Apostle Paul has given us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He has given us 8 gifts that are available to people in the body of Christ. Now, God does not give every single person the same gift. That is absolutely true. There are some people who are great at personal work and great at witnessing to people, but they wouldn't make a good pastor. And there are pastors who are great pastors who aren't necessarily very good at personal work on the streets. So Romans chapter 12 is telling you in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, here we start talking about individualized gifts, the ability to prophesy, the ability to minister, the ability to teach, the ability to exhort and encourage other people, the ability to give, whether it's food, clothing, shelter, money, your time, the ability to rule. There's lots of people who become Christians and they are in a position of political power. Those people are called to rule with diligence. But now look at this next one. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, would you think that the ability to be merciful to other people would be a gift from God? Would you think that the ability to exhort and encourage other people would be a gift from God? It absolutely is. Now, Karen is saying, I'm seeing 7 gifts. Where is the 8th one? Well, maybe I miscounted. Let's take a look. Romans 12:6. The gift of prophecy, that's one. The gift of ministry, that's two. The gift of teaching, that's three. Exhortation, that's four. Giving is five. Ruling is six. Showing mercy is seven. Well, there you go. I miscounted. So there are seven gifts right here. But does it seem that encouraging somebody else is a gift? Well, have you ever been encouraged by somebody and it made all the difference in the world? Have you ever had somebody just come alongside you and be a friend and to help you through whatever it is that you were going through and to exhort and encourage you to get in the game and stand up? That's life-changing stuff. There are people who make their living, people like Tony Robbins and other motivational speakers like Joel Osteen. He's a motivational speaker. And the ability to exhort and encourage people is an amazing gift if you do it from a doctrinal perspective. Now, Joel Osteen and Tony Robbins, they don't exercise that gift from a biblical perspective, but they absolutely have the gift of exhorting and encouraging other people. There is there's no doubt about that. So the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 12 is showing you that there are many members in the body of Christ, and not all members have the same gifts. Not all members do the same thing. And we are to do what God has called us to do according to the proportion of faith that God has given to each one of us. Now, some of us are very, very strong in our faith. Some of us are kind of a little bit weak in our faith. And the longer that you walk with the Lord, the longer that you study His Word, the longer you spend time in prayer, the longer that you see God working in miraculous ways in other people's lives, well, what does that do? That encourages you, and that increases your faith. Now, the whole Bible study tonight is on being a good steward of the things that God has given you. Not so much what you are giving to God. That's a whole separate message. That's a whole separate Bible study. And we are called to give and to bless others and to support the work of the ministry and all those other things. But what we're talking about tonight is we are talking about the gifts that God has given you, just like in the example that I gave you of I'm giving you a plant, a beautiful succulent or an orchid for your desk at work or for the countertop at your house. How well do you take care of that plant? Is the plant growing? Is it thriving? Is it still green? Is it still healthy? Are you fertilizing that plant? Are you watering that plant? Are you removing the dead leaves? Well, that's how you have to be in your walk with the Lord. The things that God has given you, you have to water them. You have to fertilize them. You have to remove the dead pieces. You have to prune them. And God is going to expect, turn to Luke chapter 19. God is going to expect at some point that you were a profitable servant. Luke chapter 19, let's look at verses 11 through 17. Now, this is in the dispensation of the kingdom of heaven, But you're going to see it has absolute applications to the kingdom of God, absolute applications to the church age. Luke 19, starting in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So the context here is the kingdom of God. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. That is an English measure of money. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. So if you have a paper Bible, Luke 19, 13, I want you to underline those four words. Occupy till I come. This is what we are called to do. This is what it means to be a good steward of what God has given us. We are to occupy the position that God has put us in till he comes to get us. Verse 14 of Luke 19. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him. Now, obviously, Luke 19:15, this is the second coming. This is the second advent. This is not church age. That he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the Lord at some point is going to want a reckoning of what you did with what he gave you. And for those of us who are saved in the church age, that reckoning is going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. Luke 19:16 is going to take place on the earth at the second advent. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that which thou layest down not, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, that I, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Nope, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you what this means to a born-again Christian in the church age at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians, no, that's not what I want. That is definitely, what am I looking for? Actually, I think I want 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Ah, there it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, what is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talking about? It is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. It is talking about the day that the works that we did are going to be put through the fire of judgment. Let's start reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, you and I have been given gifts. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the mysteries of God. And we have been given individual gifts. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to stand face to face with the Lord, and he is going to judge your stewardship of what he gave you. Berta says, we are poor and shut-ins, and we do the best that we can. We are sharing the gifts as we can. That's exactly right. I've told this story many times. I won't tell it again now. But I've told this story many times about the invalid woman in England who all she could do was pray. But her prayers were answered. D.L. Moody was brought to England. D.L. Moody was brought to preach at her church. And global revival broke out. And it was all traced back to an invalid woman who couldn't get out of bed, and all she could do was pray. Now, what did that woman do? She was a good steward of the gift that God gave her. What gift did God give that woman? The gift of exhortation, the gift of prayer, the gift of coming before the throne room and praying for revival and praying that people would get saved. That woman could not get out of her own bed. And yet, she exercised the gift. She was a good steward of the gift that God gave her. And that brought D.L. Moody to England, and it sparked global revival. Now, that's what it means to be a good steward. We got to take our last break of the night. When we come back, we're going to wrap all this up. Glad that you're here.
As she made her way to Jesus, she stumbles through the tears that made her blind. And she felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Stillborn she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. I come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box.
You were so worthy, Lord.
I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound, and I spent my days pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. So I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box.
And we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. We're looking at what it means to be a good steward of the things that God has given us. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please, and let's start to put a bow on this and let's put a cherry on top of this. Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse 12. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Paul says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Paul says in Galatians 3:26, "And you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And Paul says here that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, this suffering that Paul talks about in Romans 8:17, and Karen had a question about verses that I had read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is the judgment seat of Christ how we get to be kings and priests and reign with Jesus? Well, when you take 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and match it with Romans 8:17, it would appear to be the case. And you and I, look, when you got saved, you were sealed unto the day of redemption. But just like the prodigal son, you can lose your inheritance. You can never lose your salvation in the church age. But you can lose yourself. You can lose your inheritance, and those works that get burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. That is a picture. That is a picture of a person losing their rewards, losing their millennial inheritance, but not losing their salvation. And this is why we work. This is why we do what we do. This is why we preach, we teach, we witness, we hand out gospel tracts. April says, "How do you lose it? You lose it by not being a good steward of the gifts that God gave you." Now look, I've been saved almost 32 years. And during that time, I have known people, a fair amount of people, who got saved, who legitimately trusted the Lord, but then did not live for the Lord. Now, if you're honest, you know people just like that. People who are saved, people who have a testimony of getting saved, but they did not live for the Lord after they got saved. At the judgment seat of Christ, those people, they lose their reward. Now, Terry is asking, what does it look like to lose an inheritance in the kingdom? Well, the Bible doesn't specifically go into it, but turn to Revelation chapter Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, look at verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." This is talking about the church age. Look at verse 10. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That is your millennial inheritance. When are you made a king and a priest after you get saved? You are made kings and priests at the judgment seat of Christ. If your work doesn't make it through that fire, if you have no works at all that make it through the fire, it looks like, when you put all these verses together, it looks like you're going to forfeit your ability to rule and reign as kings and priests. So this is why at Now the End Begins, we put such a huge emphasis on getting on fire for God, getting in the game, handing out free Bibles, handing out gospel tracts, starting a nursing home ministry, preaching in the jails, and all these different things. Look, do you remember that story that we did just 2 days ago about the man who was an inmate at the Port St. Lucie prison, and he got saved, and he asked for a Bible, and he was given a Ruckman Reference Study Bible. And I was told by the assistant chaplain, her name is Virginia, I was told that that young man clutched that Bible so hard and so tightly, tears came out of his face. And do you remember what his mother wrote? This is what his mother wrote in a letter after her son finally got out of jail and he came home with that Bible. This man's mother wrote, "I would like to say thank you for the kindness you showed to my son while he was a resident at Rock Road." That's the jail. "The Bible he was able to take with him means a great deal to him. If I understand correctly, you are the reason he has the Bible, and you are the reason he was able to take it with him." Now, that happened 3 days ago. That's not an old story. That's not an illustration. That is a man who received a Bible that you paid for, that you prayed over, that all of us got together, and we've been doing this amazing free Bible program, and we've been doing Bibles Behind Bars. And that man who received that Bible in prison, and he cried and he wept and he held that like it was a child, and it affected his mother so much that she wrote that letter that I just read to you. Now, you want to talk about how do you get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ? That is exactly how you get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And this is why we push so hard, 7 days a week, for the free Bible program, for the billboard program, to get you to support the bookstore, to support Bibles Behind Bars, because attached to every one of these programs are rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, because we are doing the work that God called us to do. Multiple people have said to me, "Don't come back so quickly. Take some more time off." I don't want to take any more time off. I'm not 100% better. But my very first thought, how soon can I get out of this bed and get back behind the microphone? How soon can I get out of this bed and get back to writing articles that witness the gospel of the grace of God? Why do I do that 7 days a week? For 14 years. because I'm hungry for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Because I'm hungry to see lost people get saved. I picture myself on flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. And I picture sitting in a bunch of empty seats on that plane. And God, it's like God is telling me, put as many bodies in those seats as you can before the plane takes off. You know, D.L. Moody said it like this 120 years ago. He said that he had an experience with God, and he said it was like the Lord was telling me, Moody, I've given you a boat, save as many as you can. And in our day, it's an airplane, and we call it Flight 777. So why do we push? Why am I always talking about Bibles Behind Bars and the free Bible program? And why am I always encouraging you to get out there and hand out gospel tracts and start small group Bible studies? Become a street preacher. Become a witness. Become a Sunday school teacher. Become a missionary. Because these things will give you rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says about ministers of the gospel that I am going to be required to give an account for what I taught, what I preached, how I ran this ministry. Hebrews 13:17. Turn to Hebrews 13:17. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, talking about pastors, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, when I'm at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to roll the tape on how many years of Now the End Begins, and he's going to say, did you tell them about the judgment seat of Christ? Did you encourage them to be a witness? Did you motivate them to look at everything that they do in the light of eternity? And this is why we have the type of ministry that we have. I'm not trying to build a kingdom down here. I'm not trying to build some sort of fancy chrome and glass office. You'll never catch me raising money for a corporate jet. I don't care about any of those things. I don't own my own home. I don't have any money saved in the bank. I have given it all for the cause of Christ because I have an eternal perspective. I don't want mansions now. I don't want corporate jets. I don't want $10,000 per night hotel rooms. I want my John 14 mansion. I want rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want that for each and every one of you. And this is why we do what we do. This is why this ministry is set up the way that it's set up. God greatly expanded our outreach 3 years ago at the start of the pandemic. God greatly increased the amount of giving that people started to do so that we could expand and so that we could have a free Bible program and a billboard program and a bookstore and Bibles Behind Bars. Do you know how many times per week people come into that bookstore and they want prayer and they have tears in their eyes and they're looking for Bibles? Do you know what a gospel lighthouse that that bookstore is. And so as God expands this ministry, he is giving each and every one of us an opportunity to earn rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why we do what we do. And believe me when I tell you, when you get to heaven, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to be so glad that you invested in eternal things and didn't invest in temporal things. In that day at the judgment seat of Christ, just like that woman in that picture, first day in heaven, that's going to be me and you when you realize that we did the best that we could do to be good stewards of what God gave us. Now, we're never going to do it perfectly. We have ups, we have downs, we have dry seasons, we have backslidden seasons. We have all sorts that we have to contend with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's never going to stop, and that's never going to change. But we persevere, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we lean not into our own understanding. In all of our ways we acknowledge him, and he directs our paths. And that's how you get a good result at the judgment seat of Christ. And there is nothing more that I want on the face of this earth than when we get to heaven to see the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who support this outreach and support this ministry reaping in rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and seeing. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? We've handed out over 116,000 Bibles since 2011. No, not 20. Since 2021. We have handed out over 16,000. No, take that back. My mind is so foggy. We have handed out over 116,000 King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions. That letter that we got on Monday is one letter. I promise you, there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of situations just like that that are happening from all the Bibles that we're handing out, from all the ministry that we're doing. And I get excited. Phyllis was here at the bookstore the other day, and she came in with her awesome daughter. And it was great to meet them. It was great to see them. And we took some pictures in front of the map. And it was just really nice spending time with Phyllis and her daughter. And do you know what she did before she left? She bought a handful of Bibles so that she could give them out. And I am telling you, there are thousands of us, maybe tens of thousands of us, who are working together. And what are we doing? We are being good stewards of what God has given us. And that is how you have a good experience at the judgment seat of Christ. God has given each and every one of us not just a gift, but many gifts. And if just like somebody who's taking care of a houseplant, if you will take what God has already given you, if you'll fertilize it, if you'll pluck off the dead leaves and prune it, if you'll water that plant and give it sunshine, that plant is going to grow, and that is going to bear fruit and much fruit here and in the age to come. Let me close up with, turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to show you something amazing. Luke chapter 12. This is talking about Jesus coming back at the second advent and dealing with the 10 virgins who represent Israel. Luke 12, verses 35 through 38. Luke chapter 12, 35 through 38. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the Revelation 19 wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he, the Lord, shall gird himself and make them and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. In the passage in Luke chapter 12, these are the Jewish people who are watching and waiting for the Lord to come back. And in verse 37, the most amazing thing, Jesus himself is going to serve them. And it looks like this is going to be a second wedding reception. But Jesus is serving the servants. You know what that's like for the body of Christ? When we get to heaven, and the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and when we get to heaven, and we are part of the body of Christ, and everything that God has prepared for his Son, he's going to give to us as well, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you can be willing to serve him here now, he is going to serve you there, and he is going to reward you there. When we get there, we get a crown, but you have to have the cross here first. And so in closing, let me just say, C.T. Studd said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus himself at the wedding reception is going to serve his servants just like he washed the feet of the disciples. And when the body of Christ gets home to heaven, turn to John 14 and we'll be done. Turn to John 14 and we'll be done. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is building us a house. That house is called New Jerusalem. When we get there, we are going to receive the many gifts, the inheritance, the reward. But that's there. Now, we have to be good stewards of what he's given us. We have to be good stewards of the gifts that he has given to each and every one of us. We have to be good stewards of this ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. We have to be good stewards of the free Bible program and the billboard program and the Bibles behind bars and the bookstore outreach. We have to be good stewards. We have to work here. But we get a reward there, and he's going to serve us there if we will serve him here now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. It is an honor, Father God, to be given a job to do, great or small. It is an honor to serve you here, Lord. It is an honor to witness, to be a witness of you and for you and to you, to a lost and dying world. And Father God, strengthen each and every one of us. Let us be good stewards of what you have put into our hands, that may make it through the fire of the judgment seat. We pray for lost souls. We pray for saved souls to get fervently back on fire for you. And for those of us that are on fire and saved and serving and excited, expand what it is that we're doing, Lord. Give us everything we need. Give us every resource. Lord, I can so picture this Bible warehouse with 100,000 Bibles. I can picture us handing out 1 million free Bibles in 1 year. And you can do it, Lord. And Father God, I don't know how close that we'll get to that. But Lord, let us be at full speed the day that you come to take us home. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of Now the End Begins across America, around the world. And it's just great having this fellowship and this family and seeing how God is using each and every one of us and putting us all together to get something done for his name, to see lost people get saved. It just thrills me each and every day. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Friday at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Remember, there's no Sunday service this week because last month when I was supposed to go and have that meeting at North City Baptist, that meeting, Lord willing, is this Sunday. So no Sunday service this weekend, but there will be a Sunday night Bible study, Lord willing. And there is going to be the bookstore super sale to celebrate 10,000 articles, and that's going to last for 72 hours this coming weekend. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Good night.
The preachers are weary. The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul.